So we were describing Xinjiang, which is an added feature to the ninth level, which makes you feel as if you had sunk into the object. And if you have level nine with Xinjiang, it will become shamatha. It will become the deep state of meditation that you need to see emptiness directly. Then he says, Dene sem Xinjiang di ga ya ya wade ching sang ne. He says, when you get this feeling of mental and physical bliss in a deep state of meditation, when your body feels light and strong as if it's going to float off. By the way, at this point, your back is straight all the time, like West Point guy or something, you know? It's just, you can't help it. You're always sitting on the edge of the chair, is it 4 inches or something, and you're always, your back is completely straight, and it's just automatic and it feels great. It's just a physical ecstasy from that. And then he says, Pabok Rinpoche says, it could get out of hand, right? Like, don't get caught up in the good feeling of it, right? He says, Gaya Yawade Chung San Ne, let it go a little bit. Don't like get all lost in the good feeling of it. Like, let that go. Let the bliss go a little bit. Dewa Chung Song Yamle Tabu Nang Ne. And then it will feel like someone tuned down the bliss slightly. Okay? Sam Mipala Temba Nebe Tingin Dan Jesu Tumbe Xinjiang Miyowa Topa. Then go into like a standard ecstasy and stay one pointedly on the object, right? And your meditation object. Miyowa Dantu Nyamdu. Samden Dumba Nyato Micho Me. Okay? He do be shine topa yin. Then you will have achieved shamatha. Okay? Shamatha. And as we said this afternoon, there's an entire spectrum, like the spectrum of light. If you've ever studied the light spectrum, there's a huge spectrum of meditational states. And you can think of them as small stripes on a very long ruler. What do you call it? Yardstick. And there are tiny, tiny stripes on the yardstick of different colors. And what we want to do is get up past level nine, push it a little bit further into physical and mental ecstasy, and stay there, and park the mind there, and don't go higher. Okay? There are higher states, you don't go higher. Stay there. You're out of this realm, all right? You're out of the current realm. You're not in this world anymore. Your mind is out. You're into a meditation so deep that if you passed away at that moment, you would actually go to another realm. You're not at all aware of if someone banged a gong in your ear, you wouldn't hear anything. If someone waved McDonald's French fries in front of your nose, you wouldn't smell it. Right? You are pratyahara, right? You are withdrawn from your sense objects completely. Senses. Totally immersed in deep meditation. And physically, if you get there, this is just a personal advice, okay? It's not in the text. If you get there, you feel as if you are rising. You feel like you are physically rising to a different realm, okay? And that's called Samden Dambo Nyerdo Mito Me. Because Samden Dambo means, Samden here, Dhyana here, refers to the former, okay? A place, a paradisical place you would go if you died at that moment. Okay, so the meditation itself is called form realm or dhyana meditation. But it doesn't mean you're in the former. Okay? It means that if you died at that moment, that meditation would throw you into a higher paradise realm. Okay? Temporary realm. Not a good place to go permanently. Nyerdo means you don't even get to the first of the form realm levels. There are four form realm meditations. Nirdok means you don't even get to the real first one, right? The first job Rinpoche gave me when I met him in 1974, he gave me a text. He told me, you're going to work on this text to translate. It's called Abhidhamma Kosha. It was a translation. It was the commentary by the first Dalai Lama. I spent 12 years on that text. Okay? In the first year, I had no idea what anything was about. You know, like he would explain the words to me, and they would be saying, there's a form realm, there's four levels in the form realm, you're not even getting to level one, you are in the preliminary level to stage one of the form realm, you know, and it all meant nothing to me, you know, so I don't know what the four form realm meditations are, I don't know what they feel like, and I could, therefore, I could hardly matter to me whether I'm in the preliminary part of the first one or the main stage, what they call main stage. Nushi means main stage. Nirdok means the preliminary part. But the whole book for a year was about things which I couldn't have any experience of at all. You know, and it was very frustrating. You know, then we got to the third chapter and they started talking about how the sun was created, and then I felt comfortable. You know, but the whole first section, it was all about stuff that I couldn't relate to at all because they are making distinctions between things that I have no experience of at all. So anyway, that's how it's going to be for you. There's four realm levels, meditations. At this point, when you've just got this ecstasy of body and mind, you haven't even gotten to the first form realm. You are at the preliminary, they call the preliminary stage before the main stage, of the first form realm. You're in a tiny slot of a bar. If you've seen it, what do they call those things that measure the spectrum? Spectrometer. Yeah. We had to use them in gemology school. You know, you have a spectrometer, and they have all these lines, right, of different color. You are in one tiny section of the entire spectrum of meditation called the preliminary to the first form realm level meditation. It's called Mi-chok-me. Say Mi-chok-me. Mi-chok-me. It's a double negative. Mi means not, me means isn't. Sorry. Mi means isn't, me means it isn't. It's you don't. Okay? You don't, it's not. Alright? What's that mean? Chok means to have time to do something. Mi-chok means I don't have time to do something. Mi-chok-me means I don't not have time to do anything. Alright? It's not that I don't have time to do anything. Alright? The level of meditation has a very specific name called, it's not that I don't have time. Alright? Mi-chok-me. Only in that slight sliver of the entire range of thousands of meditations and meditation objects can you see emptiness directly. Only from that platform can you see emptiness directly? Only from that platform, that specific platform, can you ever get the mind still enough, but not over still, to see emptiness directly. If you see emptiness directly, then within a short time, you can change the planet. You can change the entire planet. You can stop the pain of entire planets. Right? You have that power. If you just get to that meditation, so what we're talking about this whole week's class on meditation has nothing to do with the actual goal, right? The goal is to use that meditation to see a certain object. You cannot see ultimate reality unless you can get to this particular level of meditation. You have to. You must. And that's the point of studying all the 11 levels and the 5 problems and the 8 antidotes and the 6 powers and the 4 states of mind. Okay? That's the reason to do a retreat. It's only for that. That's the only goal. If you see it directly for 20 minutes, you will have the power to transform the entire planet. Right? It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. That's what you really want to do, okay? What are the most popular movies around? Spider-Man, Iron Man, Transformers, Batman. Batman Returns. You know, it's people who saved the world, right? It's people who saved the world. Why do they keep making movies about people who saved the world? Because that's what you really want to do with your life, okay? Like, okay, you want to eat, you want to have a house, you want to sleep, you want to have sex, you want to have a job, you want money. Those are all true. Everybody would like those things. But deep, deep down inside, and the reason why people are so often unhappy is that you want to save the world. You want to make this world a better place. That's your deepest fantasy. And that's what keeps you going. Okay? In the back of your mind, you know it's useless to collect money because you will just lose it all. You know it's useless to eat because you can only eat so much, right? And you know that death is coming. And so in the back of your heart, you know the only meaningful thing to do would be to change the world, help the world. If you get to this stage of meditation, you can do it. A single person can transform the world, has the power to transform the world, if you can reach this state of meditation and see emptiness, okay? So what would be the natural place to go now in our discussion? I mean, we just reached we reached that level. What do you want to talk about now? What are you going to focus that state of mind on? You see? You can focus in on baseballs or oranges or, you know, anything. It's just a tool. You can focus in on anything. Yes, ma'am?
It's not
so about. Oh, yeah, good. Okay. It's a good question. She said, there must have been people who studied these books, got these teachings, did these kinds of meditation. And why do we still see the world having pain, right? Why are there still wars? Were you here for the pen thing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see when we talked about the pen? No. Oh, okay. So the human being saw the pen as a pen. And the dog saw the pen as a something to chew, right? So one level of being saw something to chew on. Another level of being saw a pen. Maybe there's a third level of being who could see a pen and they don't even think of it as a pen. They think of it as something to change the world or save the world. To them it looks like an instrument for saving a world. I could write something and save a world with it. You see? So, today, in this room, for example, it's possible that there are those kinds of people who saw emptiness that way. Okay? And they see the world as a pen, and we see it as a dog toy. Okay? So it's the same. It's the same. In their world, hunger has been stopped and war has been stopped. They don't see Iraq that we see. They don't see the Afghanistan that we see. They don't see people hungry in Africa that we see. Okay? We're in the same world and we see different things. Okay? The dog and the human are in the same room, but there's two realities in the room. So, they see the world differently. But to save the world, they have to get us to see the world differently. Right? Okay. And for a dog who graduated to being a human, can you imagine how difficult it is for them to convince the other dogs that the pen is a pen? You see? You imagine how much work it would take for a super dog to talk to the other dogs and say, look, you could use this thing in another way. You know, this is not just a chew toy. You can do other things with this. But it would take years of patient work for the dog who figured out the pen to explain it to the other dogs. See, it would take a lot of work, many years of work, to explain it, because the other dogs never experienced it, you see? Okay. That's shamatha. When you reach that level, that's shamatha. And now you can turn it towards emptiness. Dini jitin na jitin le debe topa mambo topa la meta mebe lamimbe micho me se. This is the only book I've ever seen an explanation of the name of the level. Okay, the level is called, in English, it's not that I don't have time. It's not that I don't have time. Like, why did they call the level that? Why is it called that? He says, this state of meditation is something which you cannot do without if you hope to gain infinite numbers of realizations which are both of this world and beyond this world. Okay? So there are realizations of this world and there are realizations beyond this world. And you can't get to them unless you have this state of mind. So he says, therefore we call it Michokme, which would mean I don't have time not to try to get this. Alright? It's not that I don't have time to try to develop this meditation. Right? That's why you need it. Dene nyodok chima nam jugne rimgi samsu dyekab jugnan top numur. I admit, says Pamoka Rinpoche, that if you kept working on your meditation, you could go through the four form realm meditations, and you could go through the four formless realm meditations, which are just even deeper states of meditation. Okay? They are more calm, more focused than the other ones. All right? I admit that you could do it, but but there wouldn't be any point to it. Right? Just to get deeper into meditation, there's no higher goal than to see emptiness directly. There's no reason to go higher in the form and formless realm meditations. Why do they exist? They weren't designed by anybody. They just are there. If you reach them, you get born in more temporary happiness. So they're actually considered an obstacle. But why they're there, it's just if you go deeper, you can get a higher rebirth. Chirupe ni chiang mencheki nomo ngungyong tanje pangde sitse sem topne tarpa topa zing kyan. There's a weird thing about these meditations, alright? The higher ones than the one you need to see emptiness, right? The four form realm and the four formless realm meditations. There's a weird thing about them. As you move up through those eight, the mind becomes more and more subtle, alright? So, is a cup of coffee made with three scoops of coffee and two spoons of sugar, is it strong or not?
Huh?
No, you can say it depends, right? It's strong compared to tea. It's not strong compared to coffee made with five scoops of coffee. Alright? So what happens as you move up through these eight is that, let's say if you're watching your breath, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. I said it the other day, right? You start out where you can block out the noise of the traffic outside. And then it seems subtle to not have noise of traffic. Right? Then you block out the noise of people sniffing in the room, slurping. What do they do? It's a meditation demon. They go in the middle of meditation, you know? in 100 people, everyone's silent for 10 minutes, and then somebody goes, you know, just let it drip. Okay? It won't hurt you. Anyway, then that becomes subtle, right? Then people stop, and then it's all silent, and suddenly you can hear the, you can hear your breath moving through the hairs of your nose. It's a slight whistling sound. Okay? Like you hear this. Really? No, if you get subtle, if you get quiet enough, it becomes quite noticeable. Right? Then you like go deeper, and then all you can hear is this ta-kang, 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 ta-kang. What's that? That's your heartbeat. Then your heartbeat gets really long. It becomes like somebody's banging a drum in your ear. It's like ga-dum, 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 ga-dum. And then you get past that. You go deeper. And then you can hear this. What's that? It's air hitting your eardrums. You can hear discrete molecules of air hitting your eardrums. Like that, okay? As you move deeper into meditation, as you go one step deeper from the traffic noise down to the air molecules hitting your eardrum, your mind gets more calm and less likely to get angry. Okay? Your mind gets more calm. People can't upset you. You don't feel as jealous. You don't feel like you need 3 pieces of pizza right now, okay? Your mind, your mental afflictions steadily start to fade, all right? But it's not because they're gone, okay? It's because you feel a little bit calmer. And you cannot stay there. It's not possible to stay there. You must come out sooner or later, okay? You gotta get back in your car. People are going to kick you out of the church. Okay? You got to get back in your car. Then you move quickly back through all the levels, right? You go back. Oh, now I can hear my ears. Now I can hear my heart. Now I can hear my nose hairs. Now I can hear the person slurping next to me. And now I can hear the traffic. Your mind comes out very quickly. So that kind of meditation is considered not so useful. Just to get your mind deeper and quieter, and then come back out without any other object is considered a mistake. Right? There's no benefit to it. You will have to get back in your car and drive home. And then that meditation is over and you haven't gotten anything out of it. Alright? You can go all the way up to the top of the 8 levels of meditation, but it will not stop you from suffering. Okay? Still have to get in your car, and you still have to go home, and you still have to get old while you're in your car. Okay, it doesn't stop anything. Kirki, then he quotes from a text called, we had it before. Naka Nakta means the praise of those who are worthy of praise. Okay, the praise of those who are worthy of praise. Kirki Chola Mi Chokpe Kewa Timu Ki Dongpa Sitze Parnu Songne Kyan Dunya Yangyur Sipa Dru. Those who practice meditation without getting into worldview, Kewa Timu Ki Dongba, those who are blinded by ignorance, okay? Sitze Parnu Songne Kyan, they can go to the top of the formless realm, okay? Which is called the peak of existence. It's the peak of samsaric existence. Their suffering will come back. Their suffering will come back. So their whole meditation practice has only served to bring them back into the circle of suffering. Right? That's an ancient scripture about that. Dole, jiten dagni tingzin gongche kyan. Dhani Dr. Dushe Ji Miche, Dhani Namo Chir Shin, Rakchukte, Rakcha Kini Tingzin Dir Gong Shin. Then Lord Buddha recounted a story about a yogi who got who got into trying to get to those higher meditative states without using them for any big purpose. Jikten, Dagni, Tingzin, Gongje, Kyan. People who don't understand how things work, they can go to high states of meditation. Deni, Datu, Dishe, Jingmin, Yur, Jingmin, Cheng. But they aren't doing anything to stop their view that aspirin works. Alright? They believe that aspirin works. They have reached high levels of meditation, but they still think that aspirin has something, what? In it that takes away a headache. They still believe that. They can meditate, they can go to extremely high levels of meditation, but they still believe there's something inside an aspirin which can take away a headache. Right? They believe that. They haven't lost their belief in a doc. Okay? Dot means Atman, means self. That just means an aspirin that has something in it that works. There's no such thing. Okay? Dot, when Buddhists say there's no self, what they mean is an aspirin is not an aspirin. Why? There's nothing in it that works to take away your headache. Is a stone an aspirin? Is a piece of gravel from the parking lot an aspirin? Why not? Why not? It doesn't take away headache. It's not aspirin. People don't go out in the parking lot and pick up a piece of gravel and eat it when they have headache. Okay? It doesn't have anything in it that takes away headache, right? But aspirin does. Which planet are you on? Deni nyamo chirshin ram chukte. So if you get really good at meditation, but you don't use it to understand why aspirin works, right? You don't apply it to anything. You just go on thinking the way you did before and you get very, very good at meditation. Rab chuk de, yomong chir. That's like purposely trying to screw up your mind. That's like purposely trying to disturb your mind. It will simply disturb your mind. Chuk de. And it, what's it called? Rabchuk means it will stir up your mind. Rabchuk. Phachakini Tingzhen Dirgongshin. That's like the story of the Uddaka. Okay? There was a meditator in India called Uddaka. Phachak. In Tibetan, Phachak, Uddaka. I think he tells the story here. Let me see. Yeah, here it is. She Phachaki, this yogi, Sitse Nyamshat La Lo Mamor Ne. He got to the highest of the eight form and formless realms, right? Called peak of existence. He spent many years on that, meditating on that level. And Neka, well, then, what do you say? He didn't have time to go to a barber. Because he was in meditation all the time. So, he got this really long hair. He got really long hair. They call it Rapa. Rapa means dreadlocks. His hair started to tie up in dreadlocks. But he was actually sort of proud of it. Because he said, oh, people will think I'm a great meditator. If I have these long, unruly dreadlocks, then everybody will be impressed. And he was happy about it. Then Chiwesa. Chiwa means a rat. So it means started chewing on his, what do you call it? Bob Marley? On his Bob Marley dreadlocks that he was so proud of. Then rats started to, he was in deep meditation and they were chewing off his dreadlocks. Okay? Chitone chote. Then you know, one day he got out of his meditation, he went down to the stream to get a drink of water, he looked in the stream and his dreadlocks were out of order. You know, this side didn't match this side. You know? And he got really upset. Right? He said, the people will laugh at me. You know? People are supposed to be impressed by my dreadlocks. Now it's all off, you know? Okay? Split ends, too. Something young name, and some do so or so. Then there's a story that I don't know if it's true, but they say that his anger was so powerful that it sent him to a hell realm. He was so upset that his anger created a bad karma, and when he died, he went to hell. So the point is not that we simply get into a more and more relatively subtle state of mind. Okay? It's not that you get to your breath from the car noises. And it's not that you go from your breath to the heart noises. And it's not that you go from the heart noises to the ear noises. It's not progress. Right? Get to a point, get to that one sliver of meditation, stop. Because the point is not to meditate more deeply. The point is to use the very silent state of mind to see emptiness directly. Okay? If you get to this state of shamatha, deep state of shamatha, you will get to a point where it feels as though you could count the atoms in the wall of the church. Okay? That you could look at the wall of the church and you could count the atoms on it. Right? You feel like that. Chi sula sobe yunge tsema nga duksum ki tsema sumdan kepa pume de tsema chu kan nangyang de nime tene nigawadan. This is a very, very difficult section. So, in a deep state of meditation, will there even come to you fleeting images? We can say fleeting images, okay? Of an apple, or a piece of a song, or a similar object, okay? Will a fleeting image even come to your mind of some, of a red color? Or, they give other examples like, a fleeting sense of wanting something, or as a fleeting sense of disliking someone. Tiny, tiny, fleeting senses of things. And they say other example would be a boy or a girl. Thinking about a boy or thinking about a girl. A slight fleeting image crosses your mind, right? In a very deep state of meditation, you are able to even hold the mind back from touching those images as they fly through your mind. So an image is flying through your mind at the rate of, what is it, 65 per second. In a single second, 65 discrete images will pass through your mind. Occasionally red, occasionally girl, occasionally I don't like. Occasionally, I wish I had. Okay? Very fleeting, immediate images will fly through your mind, right? And a yogi at this stage, they are able to just ignore them. They nimitta. They even consider them, what do you call it? Potential problem. They are aware of a 1/65th of a second fleeting thought of a color. And they just, they're able in the 65th of a second to avoid it. Tene, migawadan, nyamo kewa nyungshin kejang shuk shemadan. So therefore they don't get problems like jealousy or anger or things like that. And if they do, they don't have any power. Necha tupe ni kyang tingin zindan dekdowa nyamche pasoki yinden chung. Then, just when you fall asleep, okay, like you close your eyes and you fall off to sleep, you automatically go into deep meditation. You cannot withdraw from your senses without going into a deep meditation. So these kinds of things are happening when you have shamatha. Tengzang shung chambo dagla martemba, sik nyung shing le lawa shiki, chak zo soki tawa tsuwa lomba dharma. There are foolish people, nowadays we see in Tibet, they don't want to spend the effort and time it takes to go through the instructions, the real instructions. Okay? They would like some little, you know, I did that, what do they call it? I remember a meeting at Doubleday. We were having a big meeting at Doubleday on the 53rd floor of their building on just south of Central Park. And they looked at me, you know, and they said, do you have any books in mind? You know, what are your next 5 books? And I said, well, I want to do one about how to improve science, you know, physics. I want to write about how to improve physics. And they're like, no, I want some. And then and we went through a whole list. And then they said, Geshla, could you do a candy book? You know, I said, what's a candy book? They said, a book you can digest on a short plane flight. A book you can read the whole thing through on a short plane flight. That's called a candy book. Okay? Can you write a candy book? And I'm like, he's saying, Pavok Rinpoche is saying, there are people in Tibet nowadays, they want a candy book. They want somebody to give them a candy book. And it better be talking about Dzogchen. Okay? I did an examination recently. I taught a plain old long rim text for a week, and then on 2 days I taught this tantric subject. I was just curious to see how many people would come to the tantric one and skip the long rim one. So, you know, give me something interesting. Give me some inner body chakra stuff, Dzogchen. Or give me chak. Chak means chakchen, means mahamudra. You know, give me some mysterious, almost incomprehensible mahamudra text, you know. That will turn me on, you know. Give me something like that. A candy book about mahamudra. Or inner body, okay. So, tawatso lomadam. And then people are attracted to that kind of thing. They want something sensational. Tumowe shinekam shum chamone sumba tabu nama shik junka. He said in Tibet, in modern times, which was what? 1921? He said it's very difficult to find a person who has shaman. It's very difficult to find a person who has shaman. As it's described in these texts. Chakchen Sawale. Chakchen Sawale Kyan. Then there's a root text on Mahamudra. Mahamudra is a very high, sexy meditation on meditating on your mind. Okay? The root text was written by the first, the holiness, the first Panchen Lama. Semno tawa sogni semki kunzo ping mojo tsa nimba sung. His Holiness, the first Panchen Lama, said, don't study my Mahamudra text. Okay? Be careful studying my Mahamudra text. Why? It explains, I mean, don't study it on a surface level. That text teaches you how to meditate upon your mind. What are you watching when you do Mahamudra? Your own mind. Is your mind emptiness? Hopefully not. Okay. Can you check the air? They're getting sleepy. We gotta crank it up. So, you know, the purpose of Mahamudra meditation, as Jason just said, the purpose is to see the emptiness of your mind. The purpose is to see the ultimate nature of your mind, okay? But His Holiness, the first Panchen Lama, said, almost everybody in Tibet who is trying to study Mahamudra is focusing on the mind itself and not on the nature of the mind, okay? So they are focusing on a thing which is deceptive, illusory. They are focusing on something which will hurt them, okay? They're looking at the mind at the wrong part of the mind. And he's complaining about the state of meditators in Tibet. Okay? They are not using their meditation for the right purpose. They are focusing the meditation on the wrong thing. Even those who are trying to explore the nature of the mind end up looking at just the mind. Just watching their thoughts. And not trying to explore where those thoughts came from. Dena dendala rangi gom samu yin san kyan. Those kinds of people think they're doing great meditation. Raki gombu seru gombashin. they are meditating on a, what do you call it? A ball of, what's bronze? Bronze? Not quite copper. Bronze? What's cheaper than bronze? Brass. Yeah, that's it. They are meditating on brass and thinking it's gold. They are meditating on brass and think it's gold. Sirsu. Lam kulam, lam kul, lam lo chik to chambar yurwan de, shen we me. They are doing more, no more than traveling a path which leads to nowhere. The spiritual path they have chosen leads to nowhere. Yurushin. Chingwa sakala gomdu chune. Most of them are mistaking subtle dullness for meditation. I would guess that 90% of the people who are able to meditate on a regular basis, even among people we know, if they're doing it for more than 5 or 10 minutes, are just engaged in subtle dullness. Okay? No more. All of us. Okay? If you're meditating, trying to meditate for more than 5 and 10 minutes, if you say you're on the object for an hour or half an hour, very, very likely you are in subtle dullness. Sarpala gomdachane gombine. Kam koma nyang penminishi. That's not even a form realm meditation or formless realm meditation. Okay? That's nothing. It doesn't, subtle dullness doesn't get you anywhere. Long, protracted meditations in which you wander or space out, all right? They don't even get you to a higher rebirth. Nothing. They have no effect at all. Kapkomayang teminu. Jundo gyu jubatabu juwayinte. Maybe if you meditate on those for a long time, you can set up yourself a rebirth as a dog. Okay. No, because the state of mind is similar. Okay? Or like a cat, right? A cat has great attention. Cats have great capacity for attention, focus. But that's all. They live short, violent lives and then they're finished, right? They're not capable of like ethical breakthroughs or something like that, okay? They eat, they kill birds, and then they're killed. And that's the end of their life. But they're capable of great attention, right? Stop thinking. Number chakya chengong ba, pelja dunder, guru guru. Yangna nyente gopar tung, yangna sume kamsukye. The Sakya Pandita, one of the great wise men of all Tibet, said, Nunga chakya chango che gomba. There are fools who meditate on Maha Mudra. They think they are meditating on the mind. Telcha dundu guru guru. The majority of them are collecting causes to become born as animals. Yangna nyente gopar tung. Or else, at best, they could fall into a lower nirvana. What's a lower nirvana? What's nirvana? You permanently remove negative states of mind. No more anger, no more jealousy, no more desire. You're not capable of being upset. It's worth it, right? Nobody can upset you. It's not possible for someone to upset you. That's nirvana. It's not possible to want to eat too much. It's not possible to feel jealous of your ex-partner's boyfriend or something like that. You don't have the capacity to have those thoughts. You just don't have the capacity. What makes that lower? If it's lower, what makes it lower? It doesn't help anybody else. Okay? It's not serving anybody else. It's good for you. It makes you happy. And your mind is clear, and you don't have any more problems. But it doesn't do anything to help the rest of the world. Right? That's what makes it a lower nirvana. At the best, mistaken meditation will get you to a lower nirvana, or a birth in the formless realm. Dena lamgitso namsum karu kima simba, semgi ngo kado da yusum mepa takme. Okay, so in Maha Mudra meditation, which is very sexy, why? It's very powerful. Why? As far as the nine levels, why is Mahamudra meditation a good one? Yeah, you're using the mind to watch the mind, right? When you get dullness, what do? You just watch the dullness and then you're not dull anymore. Okay? You get bright and bushy-tailed towards your dullness. You observe your dullness, which makes you undull. So it's very efficient. Mahamudra is very efficient. And then the lamas, the great lamas, like the first Panchen Lama, he said, don't stop there. Use that meditation to explore the nature of your mind. You know, don't just watch your mind. Explore the nature of your mind. So then there were these guys, they went and did Mahamudra meditation, and they reported back to their lama. I have seen the nature of the mind. I said, what is it? They said, you know, the mind doesn't have any colors at all. And it also has no shapes. You can't say the mind is square or round or oblong. And you can't say the mind is red or blue or green. I have grasped the nature of the mind. Okay? I have what they call face-to-face, right? Mahamudra, they say, face-to-face. I went face-to-face with the mind, and I understood its nature. What is its nature? Hey, it's not physical. Is that the nature of the mind?
No.
Yes, it's a nature of the mind. Okay? The mind's not physical. If you meditate on the mind and you conclude that it's not polka dot, you are correct. Okay? But that's not its ultimate nature. Right? You have explored one of the natures of the mind. It's not polka dot. Right? But you didn't understand the deep nature of the mind. Okay? So, you can do Mahamudra meditation. By the way, that yoga pose today called Mahamudra, you take a retention, you stretch out the central channel, and it was meant to trigger a perception of the real nature of the mind. You see? It is called Mahamudra for a reason. What is the real nature of the mind? What are you supposed to think about when you watch the mind in Mahamudra written meditation? Huh? Yeah, that it has no meaning. Let's compare it to a meditation on the emptiness of your screaming boss or spouse. Okay? Your boss picking on you or your spouse picking on you. Alright? Saying bad things about you or to you. Okay? Let's compare the mind to that. When you're having a problem and your spouse or your boss is criticizing you, what's the natural reaction? You want to yell back, okay? What will happen if you yell back? You will plant new seeds in your mind, and then next week you'll see them yelling again, right? If you get angry and yell back at a person who's criticizing you, you're only perpetuating that person in your life. Okay? Well, so let's put it a different way. If someone criticizes you or yells at you, and you had to choose the one most stupid thing to do, what would it be? To yell back. Okay. Next question. What is the single most natural thing for a human being who's criticized to do?
Yell back.
Criticize back. Okay? That's why you're a human being. And not an angel already, right? That's why you're stuck in this realm already. Okay? If you can't grasp all of the ideas or you can't really relate closely to all the nine levels of meditation, and it's difficult for you to grasp what's he talking about, the first form level, and what would that feel like, and what's that bliss thing, and I mean, he's been going on for 4 or 5 days now about all these things, you know. If you find it difficult to wrap your head around it, right? How is that similar to a yelling boss? Yeah, it's coming from you, okay? Meeting a yelling boss and meeting a mind in your own head which doesn't get the book completely, right? It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. You planted seeds in your mind before by failing to help people who didn't understand something. Maybe they were trying to get to the Paradise Cafe, and you were busy, and you said, look, I don't have time right now to tell you. You Google it, you know. You'll find it sooner or later. It's the one nearby. And you take off, right? You don't give them understanding. You planted a seed in your mind not to understand this book. Okay? You planted a seed in your mind not to understand the levels of meditation. Alright? Meeting lousy things in your head is the same as meeting lousy people in your life. Alright? They both come from seeds in your mind. They're both coming from seeds in your mind. So in a Mahamudra meditation, in a real one, you focus on the mind and you think about, where did that thought come from? What was the karma that I collected? What did I do to someone else for me to have to hear that thought inside my head? Alright? That's a real Mahamudra meditation. That's the real nature of your mind. The stuff that comes up in your mind, good or bad, is also coming from seeds that you planted before. It's the same as the people you meet at work. Right? It's not different. That's a real Mahamudra meditation on your own mind. Right? It's not to look at your mind and say, gee, it's not visible. That's true, but that's not the ultimate nature of the mind. Okay? Got it? You guys feel sleepy to me. I don't know. Let's keep going. Daytime Goku channel. So they're sending more. Yeah. So some foolish people said, I meditated on the mind and I figured out that it's
polka dot.
Not polka dot. Good. Name Jamie Dun Masu She Soksu Lojete Detsam Goku Chepa De Mite. Okay, so there was a famous there's a little line in the Mahamudra scriptures, alright, by the first Panchalama. It's misspelled here, okay? It's R D. It looks like R N. Is it R D U N? It's supposed to be S D U N. And both words are like one page in a million. You never see this word. Even spelled correctly, you don't see it. And they misspelled it, alright? So, Name Jemi Jemaume Dun Masu Sadun, right? S-D-U-N. Just be here now. Be here now. Don't try to, what do you call it? Don't cut the flow of your mind from the past. Your mind is flowing from the past, right? Your mind is flowing into the present from the past. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with the mind flowing to the present from the past. And, Moome Dun Masu. And don't anticipate the flow of the mind into the future. Okay? Don't mess with the mind flowing from the past. Don't try to anticipate where the mind is gonna go now, next. Alright? That's a Mahamudra saying that means be in the present moment. Okay? Don't fool around with what your mind was doing yesterday. And don't worry about where your mind's gonna be tomorrow. Stay in the present moment of the mind. That was a famous Mahamudra statement. Would that be useful? Is it ultimate? No. I mean, you'd have to stay in the present moment and examine the nature of your mind as we just described it. You would have to examine the mind in the present moment but think, you know, what did I do last week to make my mind sound like this right now? All right? That's a weird meditation, right? Because you're divorcing yourself from the mind. You're watching the mind and saying, who made it like that? Right? What's the mind thinking at that moment? You're watching your mind think some weird thing, right? Like your mind is distracted during meditation, and it upsets you. And you're watching your mind and you're saying, why am I always distracted? All right? Who made your mind distracted? But when you're looking at it and thinking about who made it distracted, are you distracted? Not anymore. You can say not anymore. Who said not anymore? You said not anymore. Okay, I like that. So anyway, His Holiness the First Panchen Lama, in his Mahamudra text, he says, stick to the present moment. Stick to the mind of the present moment. Don't worry about what was happening before. Don't worry about what's going to come. Stick to the mind in the present moment. But it means examine the nature of the mind in the present moment. It doesn't mean just space out in the present moment. Okay? Deksan Gonku Chepe, there are people who thought, oh, I'm going to do Mahamudra meditation. And they thought, oh, I'm going to stay in the present moment. Mitse dunme tong se ke gyu bashi to dorme. That meditation accomplished nothing more than to waste their life. The attempt to stay in the present moment accomplished nothing more than to waste all the moments of their life. He's making a joke, get it? Okay. The attempt to stay in the present moment without examining what's going on in the present moment, why your mind is thinking that in the present moment, just to watch your mind to stay in the present moment is to waste all the moments of your life. Because it doesn't take you anywhere. Bashi to Dole, Sama Kanyan Dumi Nu. It won't take you to any spiritual paths or levels. Chang Sen Dan Nguyen Jing Dan Yang. We'll go a few more minutes and then we'll take a small break. Chang Sen Dan Nguyen Jing Dan Yang La Be Tawa Dan Kyam Ju Sin Na. Wim Shin Te Ching Yin Nyam Nen Dan Ta Be Nyam Nen Dan Nan Be Chu Su Jo We. Lama Noa Denda La Ju Go. If you want to make your meditation into a spiritual practice, right? If you want your practice of meditation to take you somewhere in this life, then join to that meditation some high ideal, okay? Join some high ideal to that meditation. He gives three examples, okay? He gives three examples. One is Changsen. Okay? Changsen means bodhicitta, means I would like to be the one who turns this world on and makes people understand where things are coming from and then ends poverty, etc. in this world. I would like to be the one. I would like to save this world. And you can do. You can really do. Honestly, you individually can do it. Okay? Nian Jun. I'm tired of seeing people suffer in my life. I'm tired of it. How much do you have to see before you do something? Right? How many people have to die in your life before you do something? How many people do you have? How many big people do you have to see fall? And how many small people do you have to see get cancer and just die? And how many good friends do you have to see go through aging? Right? And forgetfulness and the gradual corruption of the body. You know, how many do you have to see before you want to try to do something? Right? Or join your meditation to an examination of where things are really coming from. Why is my mind distracted today? I hurt somebody last week. Like that. Kemdo Sena Rimshin. Or at least try to seek some higher, what do you call it? Protection in your life. At least try to seek some kind of protection in your life. Police can't help you when you get cancer. Neither can doctors. Okay? Nobody can help you when you get old, right? As you get old, as you go through the process of aging, no one can help you. There's no protection. Try to find some real protection. Kyamdo, Sina, Rimshin, Techeng, and Nyamlenda. Take your meditation practice, right? You're trying to work through the nine levels. You're trying to apply the eight antidotes to the five problems. As you do so, do it with a motivation of wanting to help the world. Then that meditation becomes a higher practice, right? So what he's saying is that he's complaining, what do you call it? He's attacking meditation for meditation's sake. He's attacking meditation for meditation's sake. Meditation is a tool that has no benefit in and of itself. Join it with a wish to save the world, it becomes the highest spiritual practice. Join it with a concern for the pain of the world, and it becomes a cause for nirvana. Join your meditation with, okay, I gotta tie two of them together. Your meditation will bring you to nirvana if you do it with an appreciation for people's pain and the correct understanding of where things are coming from. None may choose a door. If you meditate with the thought that there might be something there that can protect you and other people, then it becomes dharma. Okay? It becomes a spiritual practice. But meditation for the sake of meditation, meditation for the sake of watching your breath or something like that, meditation for the purpose of just getting a calm mind, these are not, it's not a reason to meditate. Jowe, nama nawa denda majugur. Denda mepa sendi no sarton zinne so topat samkini. Dangzin na chia ne minipa. There were two mistakes in ancient Tibet about Mahamudra. Okay? The practice of meditating on the mind can be done mistakenly in two different ways, okay? So if you're interested in doing it mistakenly, I'll give you the two different ways. Okay? One is called Seltong. Seltong. Seltong is some weird practice where... is this a clock? Now think of everything in the world that's not the clock, okay? Everything on this planet which is not this clock. Just get it in your head. Tell me when you're ready. Roughly. Ready? Okay. This clock, everything except this clock, okay? Got it in your mind? Now think of everything which is the opposite of those things. That's a clock, okay? Now, when you perceive a clock, your mind is doing something similar to that. Okay? That's one way of looking at how your mind sees a clock. Your mind sees a clock by eliminating other possibilities. Is it a banana? No. Is it a football field? No. Is it President Obama's left ear? No. And then you keep going, and then finally you say, well, then it must be a clock, because that's the only thing left. All right? That you're actually, your mind does that to some extent. Your mind perceives objects by canceling what the object is not. Your mind perceives objects by canceling what the object is not. But that's not really emptiness, okay? People mistook that for emptiness. Shentong. Seltong. Okay? People thought that was emptiness. Okay? You will hear hundreds of weird versions of what emptiness is. The test of whether they are weird is, do they help anybody? All right? It doesn't really help anybody to say the clock is the opposite of everything that's not the clock. It's true, but it's not emptiness. Right? Is it a negation? Yeah. Is it a negation of something that doesn't exist? Is it refusing something which doesn't exist? No, so it's not emptiness. It's just an interesting fact, all right? That's not emptiness. Jinmei. Jinmei means try to meditate without... What do you call it? You hear people say that. You buy a New Age tape from, I don't know, Sounds Great or something. Right?
Sounds true.
And, you know, the guy gets on the tape and says, just let the thoughts run through your mind and don't think about anything. Let them float through your mind. And then the worst thing, they say, don't attach to it. And then I keep asking them, what do you mean don't attach to it? They say, well, don't own it. No, don't own the thought. Let the thought go through your mind. That's called Jinmei. It has no practical benefit. Okay? at all. Dangjin na jiyang ne minepa. Those kinds of meditation will do nothing to, they will do nothing to stop, to help stop your misunderstanding of the world. They won't help. Okay? What do I mean you have to stop your misunderstanding of the world? What do I mean in the sense of your boss? But how does the wrong, how does a misunderstanding of your boss perpetuate your suffering? Yeah, you yell back, okay? If you don't realize that the boss is coming from yelling at people, then you will yell back. And then that misunderstanding will bring the boss back next week, you see? That's samsara. That's a cycle. You get yelled at, you yell back, you get yelled at, you yell back, okay? Thinking that the clock is everything is the opposite of what's not the clock. Or trying to look at your thoughts in your mind and not attach them. They don't do anything to help you with your boss. You see? They have no effect on your boss. You can think them, but it doesn't help you with the real problems of life. Okay? So they're worthless. Those are worthless. People, you know, people don't know me very well. They bring me a book from Barnes and Noble. They bring me the latest, I don't know, book about not attaching to your thoughts from Barnes and Noble, you know. And I'm like, thank you very much, you know, I really appreciate it. Then I go home and I just, sometimes I throw it out the window of the car on the way home. Okay, that's a diminutive. Ratna mutek lakche tar gyur nyenyur. The best you can do with those kinds of lousy meditations are that you will end up like the guy with the dreadlocks. That's the best that can happen. Okay. What happened to him? Yeah, okay. That's the best. Alright. Oh, cool. One more line and we'll get to emptiness. Ready? We'll take a break, okay? No, I mean, we'll finish the line, we'll take a break, and then we can start on emptiness. Because now you know how to meditate perfectly. The problem with practice texts is that it takes like a day to teach it, and then it takes like 20 years to practice it. Okay. Anyway. Deta Meme Lamla Sambor means Zimba. Don't get attracted to worthless paths. Don't get attracted to worthless paths. Don't get attracted to some worthless New Age thing that tells you, you know, watch the thoughts flow through your mind like clouds and don't relate to them or something. Okay. Doesn't help with your boss. The test of a viewpoint is, will it help you with your boss or your spouse? Nam yang dang, yang dak dang, dang nang, je shepa ge sung. This is beautiful, okay? It's not being sectarian to learn to distinguish between a path which will benefit you and a path which will not. You know, it's not being sectarian to say, you know, I respect your book. I respect your work. I respect that you want to help people. I'm sure that it has some benefit for you, right? But then, if you're dealing with a few years of help, right? A normal human being, it takes 20, as your parents know, it takes 20 years to eject someone from the home. You know? I mean, they are not... They're no use to anybody for 20 years, right? And then the last 20 years of life are bust, right? You're too old to think straight. You're looking for your car keys all the time. I took you know, an older person out the other day. I said, let's go to lunch. I was trying to cheer them up, you know. Let's go to lunch, you know. They said, yeah, let's go to lunch, you know. So... We got the car, you know. We got the car, we went out of the driveway, we hit the Thomas Road, right? And then she said, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, the restaurant's only like 10 minutes. I gotta go now. And I'm like, I turn off at a coffee shop, you know, and, okay, let's rush in, you know. I mean, how much you can rush at that age, but. So, you know, we couldn't wait, we couldn't drive to the restaurant. We laugh, but that's us, right? The last 20 years of our life, we're just too tired to do anything. The first 20 years are, you're too dumb to do anything, okay? So that leaves like about 20 useful years in between. Okay? You got about 20 years to do whatever you're gonna do in your life, you gotta do it in the middle. And then there's this joke in Tibet, you know? You're gonna sleep half of those 20 years, you know? So cut it to 10 years, you know? You have 10 years of intelligent life in you, right? You have 10 years of energy and intelligence to play with. You don't have time to read New Age books about not thinking about the thoughts as they float to your head. It's not that those people are evil, okay? And it's not that we should burn them at the stake. But I'm just kidding, okay? But it's a waste of irreplaceable, precious moments of your life, of the age of your life when you are clear thinking, and you got out of the house, you know, you have 10, 15 years of real life to live. Are you going to spend a month of it on some book that's about don't think about your thoughts? Concentrate on not thinking about your thoughts. You know, you don't have time, you know, you don't have time. Try to develop the capacity to detect flaw, alright? Try to develop the capacity to detect flaw. And if it's flaw, then leave it for later, you know? If I live to 80, I'll read your book, you know? Okay? While your mind is strong, you're not too old yet, you have time, you can meditate, you know, you're not a crazy teenager. Those years of your life, reserve them for something of substance, okay? The other thing they always say at Dumbledore, they say, anything you write will publish, Geshe-la, like anything. I said, why? They said, content, content, content. You know, they're like, you got content. And it's not fluff. You have real content, you know? And so look for things of substance and look for things which can really help you in your life. Don't waste your time. Learn to distinguish between fluff and non-fluff, alright? Cool? Especially with your meditation. The time spent in the core of your mind is precious. And the core of your mind is very fragile. And the core of your mind is very vulnerable. And you have to reserve the highest teachings. When you get close to the core of your mind in meditation, you want to have something powerful and substantial to use when you get there. Okay? You don't want fluff around the core of your mind. If you work hard to get close to the core of your mind, you better have something cool you can do with it. And don't just bring some garbage to the core of your mind. Okay? Alright? Bring something life-saving and planet-changing to the core of your mind. Okay? So what's the purpose to do all these things? You know, why are we having this class? And why are we here this week? And why are those crazy people in Diamond Mountain going to do 1,000 days of retreat, you know? Why would someone do a 3-year retreat? And what are we doing? Why are we doing all this? Okay. What's the point? I mean, why do people do yoga? I have a yoga teacher in the monastery, you know, he said, wow, so many million people doing yoga in America. This is a high secret practice. And I said, no, Rinpoche, you don't understand. They just want to lose weight, you know? We all have different motivations for wanting to learn to meditate. We all have different goals in mind for learning how to meditate, right? And they have different goals. People are here for different reasons. Everybody's here for a different reason. But in the end, you are learning a skill which will change the world. You are learning skills which you will take and change the world. You know, Jesus came to this world, and Buddha came to this world, and then now it's your turn. So you will make a change in the whole world. If you study these things well, you have the capacity to stop the suffering in the world. Okay? If you study these things well, we're not just having, what do you call it? Some kind of class? The point is not that. The point is that lots of people are in pain. Lots of people are confused. What is this world? Who are we in this world? What are we doing here? What are we all doing here? We are struggling to make a living. We are struggling to have a little bit of happiness. We are struggling to have some relationships. But in the end, isn't it all hopeless? I mean, you meet somebody, you get married, you have some kids, and then you all die. I mean, you get a job, you get promoted, you work hard, you create something, you get remunerated, you get paid. And then all the money is gone and you die. That's the story of everybody. That's what we're doing here. The whole thing is crazy. You know, we try to be civilized, right? We try to drive in line on the highway, and we try not to bite people's fingers in restaurants, and, you know, we try to be good to each other, but it's all hopeless, you know. The whole thing is, we are pretending to be calm and civilized in a world where everything must be destroyed, including us, right? And there's no point to life, really. Just make more money that you will leave behind when you die, or do more headstands. So you, what are you gonna die in a headstand? You know, what's the point of it all, right? The current state of this world is an accident. The current state of this world is due to some kind of, I don't know, evolutionary quirk. We are evolutionary quirks, okay? You are among a gradually diminishing handful of people in the universe who still yell back when the boss yells. Okay? You are among a small minority of living creatures in this universe who still didn't get it. You know? You are at a certain level of evolution which is destructive, you know, self-destructive. You still hurt people back when they hurt you, and then they come back to hurt you again. And you are not normal. You are retards. No, like, there are many worlds where people figured it out already. And we're like at the back of the class, right? We just didn't figure it out. And it's not a big deal to fix the world, okay? It's not like a lot of work. Just get people to understand the screaming boss thing and you're halfway there. See, if people stop screaming back at their boss or their spouse and they reflect on how they have created these things themselves, already half the world's problems are fixed. All right? So changing the world's not such a big thing as you think. You know, it's not like it's going to take a lot of work. It's just a change in how you view things, right? And that change in how you view things will stop death itself. Okay? Death doesn't exist on many worlds of this universe. It exists on this world because we're retards, okay? And we don't get it. But it's not natural. Dying is not natural. And the body falling apart is not natural. Getting old is not natural. Having war, having hunger, these things are not the way things usually are. You have to really be dumb to have those things. Okay? You have to be so dumb that you will yell back at the boss who yells at you and not understand that you are making them yell back at you again. Okay? We are in a temporary, retard stage. And it doesn't have to be like this, and it will be fixed. Somebody's going to fix it. Right? It might as well be us. Okay. We can do it. Right? So we just have to get the emptiness thing down. Right. We have to learn to meditate, like the book said. And then January, right, we're going to do the real thing. So January we'll go try to get to level 4 or 5 or something. Right? We'll do a 10-day retreat together. And we'll just work really hard on meditation. And then you've got to have something to meditate on. Okay? You've got to use it for something. Meditation is like a microscope. And then you have to put something under it. It's not a big deal to own a strong microscope if you don't know what to put under it, right? Here we go on what to put the microscope on. During the week, those of you losers who flew away and flew back, we went ahead in the book and we studied emptiness, you know, because we thought you wouldn't even notice. We would still be on the same subject of meditation when you got back. And then we're kind of like, I don't know, kids who sneak to the TV and watch the show, and then the mom walks in, and then they turn the channel to something that mom will accept. Rinpoche had a terrible, terrible habit. And I told the story, it's funny. He used to fly into Bangalore and then drive to the monastery. It's 8 hours to the nearest airport from the monastery. Because you have to go 10 miles an hour because you have to drive around the pigs and chickens and cows. And so the board of directors of the monastery and the board of directors of the Ceremony Food Fund and the board of directors of the Asian Classic Symphony Project, all these big shots would come to the city from the monastery to see Rinpoche to the monastery. They would drive a whole caravan of cars to the monastery. But mostly they just wanted to stay in the hotel for the night so they could watch TV. Which is not allowed in the monastery. So anyway, Rinpoche would land from New York, Frankfurt, you know, and then he would come to the hotel. And the first thing he'd do, he'd run over the TV and put his hand on it. And he'd say, TV's hot. You know? Why are we talking about that? Oh, yeah, you went away for the week and we snuck out and did emptiness together. Okay? So we've already covered a little bit of this chapter on emptiness. We just were talking about how you should study emptiness from the classics, from the big, difficult books on emptiness. Like, don't go for some lightweight thing. You know, if you're gonna try to crack emptiness, do it with the heavyweights. Right? Here we go. Dena sama dun sawe gonga lala me pandu jay gagni chambil lekshe dina nin. As we were saying in Tibet, in Buddhism, as opposed to the usual historical flow, right? Usually at the beginning, when you're close to the founder of the religion, things are more accurate and more pure. And then as the centuries go by, people misunderstand and people mess it up. And especially people load on unnecessary junk, you know? And then by the 2,500 years later, the original beautiful 29 pages of the New Testament get all, you know, loaded down with other people's stuff. I used to tell my friends, they said, do you like the Bible? I say, yes. The red print, you know? Jesus' own words, those are extraordinary, you know? Then you get into this thing of, you know, if your neighbor bugs you, poke out his eye, or, you know, all this other stuff. But in Buddhism, the opposite happened, okay? As the centuries went by, the teachings on emptiness were made more and more accessible, right? So that in the last 500 years, we have Tsongkhapa. Tsongkhapa was the teacher of the first Dalai Lama. And he was very frustrated by the misunderstandings of emptiness in his time and in Tibet. And then he worked really hard and he got it straight, right? Extraordinarily straight, right? So the version of emptiness you hear here, the one that we're talking about, the boss, all right? When we talk about emptiness, and we go straight to your yelling boss, right? That's special. You can't hear that kind of emptiness almost anywhere. It's only in Tsongkhapa. It's only Tsongkhapa who really clarified it beautifully, all right? And you're just lucky. You are in a room where people are talking about the highest ideas of in the world, and in practice how to use them to help people, right? With yelling spouses, right? So, Shepa Namdin. So it's a special lineage about the high ideas with which you can save the world. And you can use it in any, what do you call it? You can use it in any walk of life. Whatever your job is, whatever your interests are, whatever your occupation is, from computer chip designer to college professor to 3-year retreatant, it doesn't matter what you do. If you can learn these ideas, you can change your, what do you call it? You can make revolutionary changes in your field, all right? If you get these ideas, no matter what your field is, no matter what your interests are, you can change it drastically, okay? My teacher said, Mike, he called me Mike, right? He said, after I got a Geshe, he refused to call me Geshe, right? He said, Mike. He said, you go to New York. You take Diamond Cutter Sutra. You make $1 million. I'm like, Rinpoche, I don't want to make $1 million. I want to stay in the monastery. He's like, no, you go to New York. You prove you can make $1 million with these ideas in a field of endeavor in which you have no interest at all. Business, you know? I'm picking for you a field of endeavor which you have no idea about it, you have no interest in it, you have no experience in it, and you have no intention to ever be in business, right? I was happy in the monastery. I didn't want to leave the monastery. I left the monastery once in 8 years to go to my brother's funeral, you know? And that was it. And once to go to Thanksgiving dinner across the street. You know, I didn't want to go anywhere. And then he's like, go to New York, start a business, you know? And I'm like, why? And he said, you need to prove that these ideas work with anything, you know? Whatever your field is, whatever you do for a living, whatever your interest is, learn emptiness. And then you can use it to change that world. And if you can change a world, one world, you can change any world. If you can revolutionize business management, which you could care less about, then you could do anything. And he just sent me like that. He forced me to go. And I'm really happy he did. At the time, I was really upset, really angry. If you understand what we're about to embark upon, you can do anything. If you learn Tsongkhapa's presentation on emptiness, you can do any change in the world. And that company just sold to Warren Buffett. It reached $250 million. Warren Buffett just bought it last April. Okay? Like, you can do anything. Just learn emptiness. You can do anything you want. Here we go. Jendi Pakyo ki tenje yin sir se nane tawa tena bebe shung shen pelter la semra min zimba je rangi yidam jambe yangi kan kandi shupana jambel ki lamar. So in his time, in his day, Tsongkhapa read all the books on emptiness and he didn't like them. He said, these are not clear and I don't understand. The vast majority of the books written in his time by the great masters of India and Tibet, he said, they cannot be used by regular people to make magical things happen. Jai Ram Yidam Japayam Nakandi Shubana. So he was dissatisfied and he had the power to see an angel. He had made contact with an angel called Manjushri. And anytime he had a problem in his life, he just asked him what to do. Okay. So he asked Manjushri, you know, where am I going to learn about emptiness? You know, what should I do? Because these books all seem like they have mistakes in them. Okay. And Manjushri said to him, Dawa Drakwa Ni Sangye Ki Shingam Shikne Saad Thunbun Chanju Sampan Namcha Nindam Chenshi Gumbo Lundu Ki Samo Dawa Temba Felchir Samshin Jumba Yin Chandra Kirti. Okay? An old Indian writer named Master Chandrakirti, he was living in a Buddha paradise. Okay? What's Chandrakirti in Arya? According to this, he was a Buddha. Okay? He was hanging out in a Buddha paradise. He was a high bodhisattva called Namcha Nintop Chen. And he looked down on this world and said, people don't get it. People are having trouble understanding emptiness. Temba Pelcher, Samshin Jumba. So he came to this planet. He came to this world. Chandrakirti came to this world. De Shumla Norncho Mezo Sumbashin. Dawa Dadaki. Dadaki Shunduktam. So, and then he established a tradition of explanation of emptiness based on Nagarjuna's books, okay? Nama Jambe Yang La Tsema Zimba Yin. And this is the person who, according to the angel of wisdom, could explain emptiness properly. He said, you want to understand emptiness? You study the text of Chandrakirti. Jai Sunratawe Kor Tunga Shunamma Ramchakki Thursam Sok Chepe Tse Kokashin Tokawa Juma Shun Hajang Ningshin Sarvan Ne Yimbe Koa Sobe Lamor Mikye. Frankly speaking, if people like you and I try to bite off Jetson Kapa's explanation of emptiness, you're going to get a stomachache. All right, my Lama used to put it that way. It's very difficult. Okay? His explanation of emptiness is difficult. Right? It's not easy, and it takes work to understand. Okay? You have to pay for it. No pain, no gain. Okay, you have to pay for it. You have to work hard to get it. You have to work hard. Hajang Lingxin Sabun Ne Yiri Kosa Le Lamo Miking. When can, but, yang shi tu jianle, if you keep coming back for more punishment, alright? If you keep coming back to it, you don't give up, keep coming back to his explanations of emptiness. Yang jianle, sheng shena lebe selka, dang sakye kepa chen tuma ye. You will find treasures in there that you cannot find anywhere else in the world, okay? His explanations are top. And they take a lot of thought, and they take meditation, and they take a good teacher. But if you attack reality through Jetson Kapa's explanation of it, then to make a $250 million company in your free time while you're doing Geshe degree for 20 years, right? It's a no-brainer. Okay, I mean, you can reach into reality and make things happen. The day we started ACI Phoenix, we got a check for $158,000 from a person I never heard of. Okay. Now you can make cool stuff happen. But you gotta work. Okay? You're gonna learn emptiness, but you gotta work hard. You gotta work hard. I can't give it to you on a plate. You gotta work hard. Okay. Kepa Tongi La Tujung is Shadow Soft Ke Shin Sub Ke Rim Shin Koatar Sub Shen Le Chewaun. Tertsat Shen Le Chewaun. There's a process for learning about meditation. Okay? There's a certain process. Number one, you come to a class and you hear about it. You come to a class, some guy gets up there and talks about emptiness. That's step number one. Step number two, you go home and, my lama said, cook it. You go home and you think about it. At home. And then, third step, you meditate on it. This is the traditional way. What monastery am I from? Serame. That's not the name of Serame Monastery. It's called Tusam Nogami. The name of Serame Monastery is the Golden Island of Learning, Contemplation, and Meditation. Okay. Those three steps. Kyeongsa Kirimchung. Dena, Dalen J. Lame Gomashin, Shakte, Dordu Shuna. So I'm going to teach you emptiness, says Pabok Rinpoche, based on Tsongkhapa. I would like to give you just a short introduction to emptiness based on Tsongkhapa. And we'll stop there. People are tired. Oh, you had your second win. Those cookies got to you. Alright, just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit. Maybe 10 minutes, okay? So this is the actual explanation starting of the emptiness. Okay? This is people study this book. My teacher's teacher in the monastery, Yeshe Wangju, came from Tibet. He escaped Tibet. Yeshe Tupten Rinchen's teacher escaped Tibet, came to the monastery and taught this book. So people wait 10, 20, 30 years to get to this line. You got it in a week. Okay, here we go. Dear Dhammo Khasaki Dharma Tenna Dapsa Sumbani, we are going to try to establish that you are not who you thought you were. Okay, Khasaki Dharma. We are going to try to establish that you are not the person you thought you were. The person you thought you were cannot be changed. The person you thought you were cannot be made into an enlightened being. Okay? Because they don't exist. And if they did exist, they wouldn't be changed, they could not be changed or improved. If you are someone coming from your seeds in your mind, then you can do anything, right? If the financial status of the world is coming from your mind, you can make $250 million company. In record time, okay? If it's coming from your mind, things are doable. If they're out there, that's a problem, okay? You can't change stuff that's out there. If stuff is flowing from your heart chakra right now, then you can change it. Okay? Just plant different seeds, all right? You are not who you thought you were. Because if you were, the situation would be hopeless, all right? You are not the solid external thing that you thought you were. You are flowing from your own mind. And you are flowing from the amount of kindness that you show to others. Therefore, you are infinitely plastic. You are infinitely, what do you call it? Moldable. You can be molded into any shape. Alright? Alright. Chi Gyapale, Arya Deva said in his 400 verses, Sunam Memba Dhambarto. Hardu dani dopa dan. Tamartashi kundopa kangi shede kepa yin. Ayadeva, Master Ayadeva, whose disciple? Ayanagarjuna's great disciple Ayurveda, right? He said there are three things you want to do in your life, okay? Sena mema dhammato. First, you want to stop those things which are not goodness. First, you want to stop those things which are not goodness. Number two, parvadani dobadan. Then in the middle part of your spiritual career, you should stop thinking of you as you. Stop thinking of you as you. Paramartashi kundoba. And by the end, you should stop all the ways you look at things. All right? So anyway, some cryptic quotation. Stop, you know, stop those things which are not good. Then stop the you that you used to think you were. And then stop everything that you used to think. Okay? Alright? Got it? Mm. Then you will be a master. What does those three things refer to? That's what we gotta find out now. Shepatar, lende mepatawetawaso, kibuchungdingi kapsu dog. In the first two great sections of the teachings on the path, the steps of the path, right? Called what in Tibet? Lamrim. In the teachings of the first two great sections of the teachings on the steps of the path are called teachings for people of little capacity, lesser capacity, and teachings for people of medium capacity. In those two sections of this book and every other Lamrim, we disprove wrong views of reality, such as not believing that what happens to you comes from what you do to other people. Okay. There are people who believe that something good can happen in their life without them being good to other people. There are some people who believe that something bad could happen to them that's not their fault. All right? And the lower parts of this book, the more elementary parts of this book, are meant to stop that lack of goodness. Got it? That was the first line from Ayurveda. He said, stop that which is not goodness. What is not goodness refers to thinking that you could get anything good happening to you without helping someone else, or that anything that ever bad person you ever met or bad thing that ever happened to you didn't come from not taking care of other people. That's basic stuff. Next, paro kazaki daktan tama. Then step two, try to understand that you are not who you thought you were. Mike is not who Mike thought he was. That's step two. Okay. What's step three? Try to understand that all the things around you are not what you thought they were. That's Ayurveda. That's Master Ayurveda's talking. First, stop your lower wrong views. Then stop your belief that you are who you think you are. And then stop your belief that the things around you are what you thought they were. Okay? So I am going to give my presentation about emptiness following that advice. So question for you. Is Prabhupada Rinpoche going to discuss how Mike is not the Mike that Mike thought he was? Or is he going to discuss first how nothing around Mike was what Mike thought it was? He's going to talk about Mike. That's all. He's justifying his decision of which kind of emptiness to teach you first. He's going to talk about the emptiness of you first. In each person, it's specific to Christine. He's gonna explain why Christine is not who Christine thought Christine was. And he's gonna explain why Jamie is not the person that Jamie thought Jamie was. And then he's gonna explain to Jeff why Jeff is not the person that Jeff thought Jeff was. Okay? Then he's gonna go on to other stuff. But he's gonna start with each person individually. And he's using the quotation by Nagarjuna student to justify that approach. Okay? Debayin. Dakne nipa megyu dakla ke me kyan. Is there a difference between the Jamie that Jamie thought Jamie was, okay? Is there a difference between the Jamie that Jamie used to think Jamie was and what you thought the flower was before? Is there any difference between those two things? Is there a difference between what you thought, what you used to think the flower was, or the Jamie that Jamie used to think Jamie was? Is there a difference between those two things? Is there a difference between an honest politician or a balanced federal budget? They both don't exist. I'm not saying it's not true. I believe politicians, you go live in another country and you come home and you will kiss the American politician's feet. Okay? You will kiss their feet. Go live in some other country, you know, where you can get beat up and dragged to jail and executed for looking the wrong way at a police officer, you know? And then you'll come home and bless Obama's feet, kiss his feet, okay? So I'm not saying that. But you see, there's no difference between two things that don't exist. Okay? So, the thing that's not there when we discuss the emptiness of people and things is the same. Got it? Because it's not there. Right? You can't say it's longer or shorter or fatter or skinnier. They're not there. Okay? Okay. Make it up. Kyan. Kyan means? But. Keshi kansaki tendil dharme de. Ne lawe dambo dene chi a. How many emptiness? I'm getting tired. I'm almost horizontal. How many emptinesses are there in this room? Somebody said as many as there are objects and people. Okay. Because each one is not what you used to think it was. Got it? Each thing in this room and each person in this room is not what you used to think they were. Therefore, there is a kind of emptiness attached to each person and thing in this room. There's a chair that wasn't the chair that you thought it was in the vicinity of this chair. And then there's a mic that isn't the mic that Mike thought Mike was somewhere attached to me. Okay? The truth that I am not who I thought I was, does that exist?
Yes.
The truth that I am not who I thought I was, does that exist?
Yes.
Yeah. That applies to me. Right? Are those truths the same?
Yes.
No, because one is Mike. The truth that Mike is not who Mike thought Mike was, and the truth that Jamie is not the Jamie who Jamie thought Jamie was, those are different truths because they apply to different things. Okay? One applies to Jamie, one applies to Mike. These are different. They are different not in their content much, but they are different in who they apply to. Okay? If you put a hamburger on the throne, or you put a hamburger on the table, is there a difference between the two hamburgers? Only in the sense that one is on the throne and one is on the table. If I say, go get the hamburger on the table, you will be able to get the right one. Because it applies to a different object. Okay? Everybody has their own emptiness. Okay? What you are empty of is equally absent. Okay? What you are empty of is equally non-existent. Okay? But the lack of that thing is specific to you. Right? Chew on that. Chew on that. Tansaki bebe nye lawe. So Pabopo Rinpoche says, it's easier to see the hamburger on the table than the hamburger on the throne. What's he talking about? It's easier to understand that Mike is not Mike than it is to understand the chair is not the chair. That's all. It's easier to work with the emptiness of yourself than the emptiness of the chair or the carpet or anything else. All right? That's not the way they usually say. Okay? Okay? We said the opposite the other day. We said you are so attached to yourself that it's hard to be honest about yourself. He's looking at it in a slightly different way. He said, because it's intimate to you, let's attack it first. Because it's intimate to you, let's attack it first. I don't believe it's actually easier. Okay? But from a point of view, you can say it's easier. It's definitely the one you want to see first, though. Okay? If you can crack the emptiness of me, you can crack anything. Right? So in that sense, it's a good place to start. Deyan toni tenma berche ki rikpa la tenda ki rikpa dan nandam ki rikpa sov mangyan. There are many different ways of proving emptiness. Okay? There are many different proofs to proving emptiness. Okay? And he mentions a few of them. He mentions there are many classical proofs for proving emptiness. Okay? There's the pen. There's the aspirin. Okay? All right? But in the old days, they used different ones. All right? And so he mentions a few names. He drops a few names, okay? Tendel Virigpa. Tendel Virigpa means things are empty because they depend on other things. Things are empty because they depend on other things. I'll give you some classical versions of that, alright? Things depend on other things because results come from causes. Okay? Things depend on other things because results come from causes. Does it help to say that your boss was born from his mother, so you shouldn't get angry at him? Not much. Okay? It's true that your boss depends on his mother, and that's where he came from. But it doesn't really help you when you're mad at him, all right, or her. Okay. So people came up with a higher version of emptiness. They said, or dependence. Okay, is it true that things depend on their parts? Yeah, I remember distinctly going to India and reading this PhD thesis from Harvard. All right, somebody gave me a PhD thesis from Harvard. And there was a chapter called Overcoming Desire for Growth. And then it said, if you have a problem with desire for growth, just remember they are made of atoms and it will go away. You know? Like they're just made of atoms. They consist of their pieces. Concentrate on that and you won't have desire for growth. You know? It didn't work. Okay? In fact, it seems kind of dumb to me now. That they interpreted Buddhist philosophy to mean that. Okay? That is a kind of dependence, but it's not going to help you. You see? Does your boss have arms and legs?
Yes.
Does your boss depend on his arms and legs?
Yes.
Does that help you not be angry at your boss? Okay. Then the highest school says, oh, dependence means your boss depends on your projections coming out of your mind from things that you did to people in the past. Okay? Your boss's existence and your boss's yelling are coming from you yelling in the past. And that's the meaning of dependent originating. Is that helpful in not getting mad at your boss?
Yes.
Is it helpful in destroying your boss?
Yes.
Okay. You see, the yelling boss. I cleaned out 800 employees in my company. Over the course of my business career, I cleaned out 800 people. I had a perfect building. I didn't have a single creep in the whole building. You see? I took them on one by one. You see? You are yelling. I must have been yelling last week. I'm getting rid of you. I refused to yell for a month. And then they quit. You know? Or they stopped yelling. You see? You can slowly clean out an office building. I did. 800 people. There wasn't one creep in the whole building. Some of you went there. I think, who? Lama Ora was there once, and people went, and I cleaned it up. Everybody was happy and clean and nice and happy, and you know, it was weird. It was really weird. So that version of dependent origination can change the world, right? Consider your yelling boss. He is empty because he came from your projections. Is that a good argument?
Yes.
Is that a proof of emptiness?
Yes.
Is that a good proof of emptiness?
Yes.
Consider your yelling boss. They are empty because they are coming from how you treated people in the past. Is that a convincing argument for emptiness? It's a correct argument for emptiness. Okay, that's Dendel Kitab. That's mentioned in the text. Okay, that's the meaning of the argument in favor of emptiness based on dependence. All right. I almost said got it. Did you get it? All right. Next, we're gonna tomorrow. Okay, I'm quitting. Tomorrow, we will go to Namdungi Rigpa. Okay, you want to just block that out, Emo? The first five syllables there. Namdungi Rigpa. All right. Tomorrow, we are gonna do Namdungi Rigpa. All right. We are gonna talk about the argument for emptiness, which has seven parts. There's an argument for emptiness, which has seven parts. It's a beautiful argument, which is found in Melinda Binda. What's that? Melinda Binda. These are the questions of Melinda. Who's Melinda? What's his real name? Menander. Menander was a Greek, okay? Menander was one of the people that descended from the people that Alexander dropped off in India before he ran back to home, okay? So Alexander dropped a few kings off in India and went back home. And Menander was descended, he was a Greek king, okay? And then he got into a debate with a Buddhist monk in India. And that was recorded many, many years ago. It was BC, 200. Alexander reached India, I think it's 256 BC or something like that. Before Christ was born, Alexander the Great reached India, dropped off some kings there, and they had arguments with Buddhist monks, which were recorded. And Namdungi Rigpa comes from there. Okay? It's a beautiful meeting of East and West. 2,200 years ago. Okay. It's very beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. It's an argument for emptiness, which they say Aristotle might have heard from Alexander. All right? Okay.